you, ladies and gentlemen. We began this week on Monday with an event across the street in the iconic Mutual of America building with the National Committee on American Foreign Policy, honouring the anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. And we'll finish this week in Carnegie Hall with the Cross Border Orchestra of Ireland, which will be a spectacular occasion. If you haven't got your tickets, please do so already. Please do so as soon as possible. But on Monday night, Tánaiste Níl Martin said that peace in Ireland, reconciliation on the island of Ireland, had been a defining principle of his entire political career. And we're delighted to welcome him here this afternoon, our Minister for Foreign Affairs and Defence, our Tánaiste Níl Martin. Please give him a warm welcome.
Just in our own Gaelic language, I've just said how privileged I am to be here in my capacity as Tánaiste, Minister of Foreign Affairs and Minister of Defence, on the week of St. Patrick's Day. And I just want to pay a warm tribute to our Piper from the Irish Defence Forces, Freddie Strutt, for his outstanding. I apologise sincerely for being a bit late, although we wanted you to get into the atmosphere and enjoy things, but we were at the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, and obviously his schedule took a bit of precedence early this morning, and then we went to the Irish Centre, so things just went back a bit, so I hope you appreciate that, and I hope that there was enough of, what I put it, sort of basic ingredients here to keep you there until I arrived. Before I say a few words, I want to take a moment to acknowledge the leadership of so many people in this room in supporting a strong and resilient New York-Ireland relationship, and indeed ties right across the United States. I know that many of you are active in organizations which promote Irish-American business, culture, heritage, and sport. Your networks and centers' work is at the heart of the Irish-American experience, and the government is committed, the Irish government is committed to support the organisations and you which bind the Irish community here together. I was delighted to visit the New York Irish Centre in Queens earlier, where I had the privilege of meeting with the staff of Solis House and hearing about the incredible work that they do supporting those struggling with their mental health. And during this visit, I also had the opportunity to attend the seniors' lunch and see firsthand the efforts of the New York Irish Centre to ensure a generation that has given so much to both the US and Ireland are not forgotten. And we met many Irish American citizens, so to speak, who came over in the 50s and 60s earlier. A few Kerry people telling me that they were coming our way in the forthcoming Munster Championship. You always get that from that sort of Kerry enthusiasm about life. Their sense of natural superiority. But the hard, modest man, I took it off the chest. And I know the Limerick mayor is here, but the head of the Irish Centre is a Limerick man, George Heslin, and I did indicate to him that we congratulate Limerick on their outstanding success, but of course we will be waiting in the long the Centre does great work, and we appreciate it very much. And the work that all of you and your different organisations undertake is so important in supporting those who are most in need in our community. And it's also critical, your work, in building a robust sense of Irishness so that new generations of Irish Americans continue to feel part of a strong and supportive Irish American community, a community whose members are connected to Ireland as well as to each other. Through the Immigrant Support Programme, The Irish government provided over 1.1 million last year to 38 organisations in the consulate's region. And we will continue to support those who work to promote and preserve Irish language, heritage and culture here in the United States. And in that context, I want to pay a warm tribute to Helena Nolan, our Consul General here. And I really sincerely pay tribute to Helena, but I just wanted to reference Helena as well, because if any of you are looking for additional grants or support or whatever, Helena is the first person. That would be Helena's trouble now. But we're also committed, and this is important, to work to ensure that Cherish Irish-American institutions do not disappear. And in that respect, it is timely to mention the American Irish Historical Society. Its headquarters on Fifth Avenue is an iconic emblem of Ireland in New York, whose loss would have been keenly felt by the community here and beyond. I am pleased that there is now a plan in place to revitalize the society and preserve its headquarters. The Government of Ireland is supporting the transition process in recognition of its historical significance. I want to express my gratitude to Attorney General James and her team, as well as to members of the Irish American community, for their support of a solution aimed at setting the society on a sustainable path. As a nation, we cherish our special affinity with people of Irish ancestry living abroad, but we do not take it for granted. As a government, we recognise that the unique relationship Ireland has with its diaspora must be nurtured and developed. Being part of the Global Irish means acknowledging the past, preserving our heritage, and honouring our traditions and our culture. But we must do this while embracing the diversity and vibrancy of the present and the future. And that is why we must continue to strive to ensure that our community is open and inclusive. We must also ensure that our organisations and events are actively welcoming to all of those in our diverse diaspora who feel Irish, whether through descent, affiliation, or a sense of affinity. Generations of Irish immigrants new to these shores have turned to their county associations, the Gaelic Association, and in more recent years, to the immigration centres and business networks to provide a sense of belonging, to make our connections, and to in turn help those who come after. As I look around the room this afternoon, I'm very encouraged to see a wide range of generations represented, with each of you bringing very different experiences and perspectives on what it means to be Irish in New York and in the United States. That richness brings great strength to our community. Providing support and relief for undocumented Irish citizens living in the United States continues to be a major priority for the government. And we will continue to explore all possible immigration pathways for Irish citizens looking to live and work in the United States. Immigration issues, including possible pathways to citizenship, are a priority for President Biden. My government colleagues and I will continue to take all opportunities this St. Patrick's Week and beyond to encourage these efforts, to remind politicians and administrators of the incredible contribution the Irish have made here over the centuries and continue to make today all across American society and the economy. Dear friends, while speaking of immigration, we must also keep in our hearts and minds the plight of those who were forced to seek refuge elsewhere, particularly the Ukrainian people in our own European neighbourhood. The response of the Irish people to the illegal and immoral invasion of Ukraine has been remarkable. To date, up to 77,000 Ukrainians displaced by the Russian invasion have sought and received shelter with the Irish people, supported by government, opening their homes, their communities and their hearts to families in every corner of our country. And this is a critical moment for democratic freedoms and values everywhere. And on this St. Patrick's Day, Ireland reasserts our commitment to democracy and human rights by standing with the people of Ukraine and providing refuge to those fleeing the war. Just as generations of Irish sought refuge in this country from famine and poverty at home, we will soon, are doing likewise now. We will soon mark the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, and many here will know from personal experience the road that we have travelled before and since then, and the patient, painstaking work it has taken from so many people on both sides of the Atlantic to keep building upon that promise of peace. The agreement is one of the best examples we have in the world today of a collective approach bringing peace. It effectively brought an end to a conflict that spanned 30 years and claimed over 3,500 lives, with many more injured and traumatized, a trauma which has continued through the generations to this day. I have sat with young people who are still fighting for the truth about what happened to their grandparents, the grief and pain they feel as fresh and real as when these awful atrocities took place. So there is much work yet to be done to fulfill the agreement's vision of peace and reconciliation. We owe debt to past generations, including those we lost, as well as to future generations, which can only be paid through making the most of the peace that was won in 1998. The memories of our darkest days motivates us to build a brighter tomorrow, and the government's Shared Ireland Initiative, which I established in 2020 to fully realise the potential of the agreement, is doing this by investing in infrastructure, conducting systematic research across the island, and working with all communities and traditions to build a vision of a shared future. It is important to stress how important the support of our friends in the United States has been throughout this process, and how vital it remains. The peace process has been shaped by a steadfast commitment to it by Irish America. Each time that a crisis has arisen and support of the United States has been sought, it has been given. From the personal actions of President Carter to Reagan and right up to President Clinton, to envoys such as George Mitchell, Richard Haass, Megan O'Sullivan, and most recently Joe Kennedy III, and of course President Biden, the ongoing commitment from the White House and the bipartisan support of the many friends of Ireland in Congress continues to make a real difference to the lives of people in Northern Ireland. Indeed, the solidarity of President Biden over recent years has been an enormous benefit to our country. His steadfast and singular commitment to the principles of the Good Friday Agreement has been unwavering, and we are grateful for it. We look forward to thanking him in person when he arrives home later, or perhaps in a short time ahead. As I said, Irish America has been critical to the success of the peace process, and your role is important today as it was in 1998. I know you will remain engaged on this, and that you will continue to be true friends to Ireland within this strong and mutually supportive community. I'm grateful, very grateful, to be part of your celebrations this week, and for the chance to express in person my and the government's gratitude for your commitment to our country. Thank you very much indeed. Law Éile, Nu Seachtain, Éile, Padraig, Díaz, Galeri.